chill. My nigga holla bang bang as the cops pass. Cause just the other day they tried to rob his stash. Jammed up his cuz, now he called from the pen. They got him praying for his bail so they won't take his kid. Cause his baby mama egged out. She done backed out. Sold everything in the house cause she cracked out. He turned to me, so much pain in his eyes.
Not to start off this podcast with a lot of pauses, like certain radio show hosts who piss me off even when I'm just listening to them for a second in traffic. John Kincaid, your face! But the existence of this bowl offends me. We don't get to make pizza jokes anymore. Birmingham still gets to make money off of Legion Field, which is wrong. And it has the temerity to schedule itself on Saturday, January the 8th. The only saving grace of the BBVA Compass Bowl is that we can make DVDA jokes and no one even knows enough about this bowl to understand that we're making jokes.
That was a really good John Kincaid imitation, by the way.
Thank you.
That was great. If you'd only come with like a really reactionary and stupid opinion to go with it.
Don't you hate that thing that's like that other thing?
You know, this thing that's about to happen, it's probably going to go bad. And like everyone else from Philadelphia, I'm going to point at it and laugh. And then shuffle set papers. It on fire.
Shuffle papers. Watch me shuffle the hell out of this stack.
Of paper.
Of papers.
Dramatic pause.
Ugh, dramatic face.
Address of large group of people by name and fan affiliation. Guess what? Negative thing. Snide remark without much wit. That's really like, that's all I
do. You know what the funny thing is about John Kincaid too? Is that if he talked like a normal goddamn human being, I would have approximately 80% less bad to say about his show. Like if you speed him up, he's just a regular sports talk guy. And yeah, he's gonna get a burr under your skin, but whatever, you're waiting in the drive thru at the Chick-fil-A. Who cares?
No, but the speed. It's
with which he talks.
Someone's been listening
to fill his airtime.
To Jim Rome.
Makes me want to peel his face off.
In the jungle.
With a vegetable knife.
Yeah. He, that entire thing, by the way, he's another like cannibal in human clothing. That's really what everyone from Philadelphia is. They're all murderers. Yeah, they're all people waiting for the moment when they can throw a bottle at someone's head or kill someone. That's all Philadelphia is. When you name a place the City of Brotherly Love, it ensures that you are going to have a city full of people who want to murder people and then laugh about it and point. That's it. That's why when I found a city...
City too busy to hate joke.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's why when I found a city, I'm going to name it Bastardville. I'm just going to name it... seriously,
a place for bastards.
Malefacto, Georgia. I'm going to found it. And our motto is going to be, with malice toward all, it's going to be the happiest place in the United States. Nobody's actually...
like a little carved wreath on the monument at the entrance. Just says, a place for bastards. By bastards.
This is the Australia rule, that when you start something, you should have the worst possible intentions and take the worst materials and try to make it into something really bad. Because remember, human effort always, you know, boomerangs. It always goes the other way. So you should actually, like Australia, worst possible intentions... continent covered in fangs, and they're pretty happy. It's a nice place. Generally, very sunny folk. We won't mention the fact that, you know, like us, they killed off their entire native population. That's just a little detail on the way to my narrative. Don't confuse my theory. I will ignore facts in order to conform reality to my thoughts. Speaking of ignoring facts to conforming reality to my thoughts, how about Pitt actually competing in this game? Ha ha ha. Yeah, they're not good, and not only that, they've also already lost their head coach and their offensive coordinator. Yeah,
what I love is that they told Dave once that he could coach the bowl, and he was like, "Fuck all y'all."
Like, there were a couple of really good gangster firings this offseason, like Friedgen, right? Like Friedgen,
yeah,
with Friedgen, they were like, "Hey, listen, man, you know we kind of want to buy you out," and he's like, "Fuck you. Fire me and pay the buyout."
This is off topic, but does Maryland's new athletic director give you the creeps way down in your brainstem?
He does.
He has the look of both a secretary pincher, but like a vicious secretary pincher to me. And I don't know why. I think it was the way he looked at Heather Dinich during the questions, like, "Why, hello there, little girl."
Well, maybe he's we're not talking like the sexy James Spader way either, right?
No, not an italicized secretary pincher, like a predatory sex secretary pincher.
He does, and it'll come out if there's a sexual harassment case filed by Randy Edsel against him, which
Oh, I can't wait.
I know we'll be ready. And like everything else in the ACC, it'll be the most boring sexual harassment suit ever filed.
Yep.
You know, they'll be like, "So the jury broke 8-5." Get it? Because everyone goes 8-5 in the ACC.
No, keep explaining. You're doing great.
And it's awesome. Holly and I are sick. Not the
So.
usual way either. God, feels like my eyeballs
Oh
are gonna.
no, I have to sneeze and you did it just by bringing it up. Hang on. I'm gonna meet.
Ah. Well, this is also, by the way, the pit team that fell to a Wonstash like mediocrity this year, and admittedly with a freshman quarterback. I mean, that was, if you remember way back when they played Utah, they almost beat
No, they're
Utah at home.
7-5. They're not even 8-5.
Yeah, they're 7-5, and this did result in the firing of Dave Wannstedt and the departure of offensive coordinator.
And the thing is that none of the losses are horrific.
Now,
Like none of the losses are actually that bad, but taken in compound, there's just an overwhelming miasma of meh clinging to this program.
right, and really, this is the other thing too. Frank Sinetti, their offensive coordinator, just left for Rutgers. So the deep malaise that has enveloped this program under Dave Wannstedt, that you got one more game of that. Whatever happens in this game, they're not a team designed to necessarily play really interesting football, and they try to play at the margins. And under Wannstedt, they're the kind of team that really loved a 52-yard field goal, right? On fourth and one, that kind of team. Like if you watched. If you watched, I believe it was, I'll find the game, but there was a game where Wannstedt had like a fourth and one on like the 38 or something this year.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, I really don't understand why they fired the guy. And then you see him on fourth and one and like, the opponent's 38, he punts. And you think, yeah, that's why they fired you, dude. That's, oh, it was the West Virginia game, man, where they lost to Bill Stewart, where he and Bill Stewart basically had an out cowardice. Like they attempted to out coward each other in that game in terms of game management. It was astonishing. So really, this is what you have to look forward to. You have to look forward to watching Deion Lewis continue to underachieve after a phenomenal season in 2009. Really didn't show up in 2010. You get to watch Kentucky start Morgan Newton, who is not their starting quarterback, but who did start, I believe, 8 games last year.
What
So,
happened to their starting quarterback?
well, that's a funny story. Their starting quarterback was arrested for DUI. So
Honestly is the most SEC-like thing Kentucky's done all year.
yeah, that's true. That's really a sign that Kentucky's competing with the big boys. Mike Hartline, their quarterback, arrested and trailed. Did you see the video footage of
I
the
did not.
coverage? You did
Well,
not?
I did, but I'm pretending like I didn't so you can explain it to an interested audience.
It was Kentucky investigative journalism at its finest. Brian Hartline, or I'm sorry,
Really
actually,
evolved since the camera pointed at the door.
I always call him Brian, damn it, because like the Brian Hartline jersey being, of course, like the most popular jersey among all OSU Buckeye fans. All Ohio State fans, by the way, have a Brian Hartline jersey. I don't know what it is. Like I think there was some sort of
Is it state statute?
Heartline mania. Wear your Brian Heartline shirt and get a free Coors Light and a can from a dude at a tailgate. I don't know, but Mike Heartline was arrested, and it's like 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning, and he's coming out with a sweatshirt over his head, and he runs from reporters who are tiny little
You
blonde and
can't see
brunette
me. I'm
reporters.
invisible.
Right, and they
I think
chase.
his problems with object permanence are really what set Kentucky back this year.
Are you saying that like the most difficult thing for Mike Hartline to deal with is that when he threw the ball away, it didn't just disappear. It went to somebody else, right?
He's that like, is exactly what I'm implying.
I think that'd make for a pretty good quarterback. And I throw the quarterback and I throw the ball into infinity. Poof. Gone. Oh, look, another one. Right in my hands. How did that happen? I think that would definitely explain Brett Favre's career and his approach toward ball security, which you know.
Oh, man, there's a penis joke, and I'm too doped up on NyQuil to get to it.
I think you just did, though. I think, oh, we, just, okay. I think we just said everything that needed to be
the
said.
The fact that I recognize that it's there will suffice.
Yeah, this game, by the way, at Legion Field, which is...
horrible.
I think that's the right word.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's as bad as you would care
to... I know people say it's horrible. No, it actually inspires horror.
Erector set? Like a rusty erector set? Is that a good way to put it?
Erector sets are fun for children. So I don't know if that's appropriate.
Yeah, that's true. This also is in a deplorable part of Birmingham. Like, that's also, I mean, it's a bad part of Birmingham, but, you know, like a lot of people who don't actually go to cities very often, people who go to Legion Field will exaggerate how bad it is. I mean, it's bad, but it's not like they say it is. Like, oh my God, if you leave your car there, they'll rape your dog. You know, what?
But that's just how they say hello in Birmingham.
That's true. This will be called, oh God, man, this is like, here we go. This will be called by Mike Gleason, John Congemi, and Kara Capuano.
Oh, what did Kara Capuano do to get stuck with this girl?
I don't know, man. She must be like way down in the girls' locker room, right, on the totem pole. Like, she like Holly Rowe and Shelley Smith. Jen Brown and Aaron Andrews all just sort of like, they don't physically abuse her, but they probably huddle up, whisper, and then look over.
Yeah.
Mean girls.
ESPN Shelley's the meanest because she knows her skin is going.
she's very ruddy. And that's hard to deal with when you're the like camera guy, you know?
I'm not going to go off on my continued rant about how ESPN has people who are paid to dress. And they can't seem to dress people who aren't shaped like Aaron Andrews, despite being paid lots and lots of money to do so. But Shelley Smith is having a kind of year on camera that Holly Rowe had last year. She looked like Brendan Gleeson in one shot this year. And she's not an unattractive woman.
I'll tell you, Holly Rowe taking a tick up this year.
Oh, yeah. She must have buried her old stylist in the desert. They gotten a new one. She looks great.
What's in the box? My stylist head. Yeah, she looks great, but Shelley Smith's had a difficult year with because you know she's an aging redhead, and there's a problem with that. And it's
we get ruddy.
You get ruddy,
and I feel for you, Shelley Smith, because I'm gonna go down the same path eventually. But like, buy your stylist a cake or a houseboat.
Also, we've discussed this before. I think Shelley Smith, she suffers from the curse of the big rib cage. Which I totally sympathize
with. Which you and I can both sympathize with.
Exactly. You know, I will say this. Me, as a fellow barrel-shaped person, okay, who probably should have spent their lives working on a dock, I sympathize deeply with her wardrobe issues.
I sympathize with her big rib cage because, yes, it's difficult.
It's difficult. You got, you know, you just, there's only so many things you can do.
There's got to be some kind of scientific word we can apply to this. Like bigularly ribbed, but better than that.
How I think keg-legged, you know, like a keg with legs, maybe you could call it that. But that would refer to legs, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Be-kegged? I would say somebody is be-kegged.
Be-kegged.
Like, yeah, they have a be-kegged figure. We'll go with that. I don't think anyone actually wins this game, by the way.
No, win is a strong word for anything happening at Legion Field.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
I really do like Kentucky for a couple of reasons. I like it. I do. I not just because I'm an
I like Kentucky to point at the opposing sideline and scream, "You're adopted! Your coach doesn't even love you anymore!"
Where's your dad, huh?
He'll never be my real coach! Stomp, stomp, snit.
I think, one, I like them because Kentucky's defense, pretty passable. If you remember, they took Auburn to the bell, to the whistle. They took them into the fourth quarter and forced a long.
It's like a 3-point game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they forced like a really long drive where Cam Newton had to run the ball like 8 times in a row, or 8 out of like 12 plays. So this is a long, dramatic drive in order to beat Kentucky on the road. So they are a pretty tenacious defense. I don't think they have to do a whole lot offensively. They do have a player who's probably more dynamic than anybody Pitt has, in Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb, governor of New Mexico in 1905. Yeah, so I like that. And plus, they can't get the ball to their best playmaker, Jonathan Baldwin, because Tino Cinceri just hasn't been
say
able to.
Say his name again, it makes me giggle.
Tino Cinceri.
Such a great name.
I think that automatically Rivals does that when you're like, hey, what's your name? Tino Cinceri. You're looking at Pitt, right? Like, it's just mandatory.
I was thinking, like, that's like a character out of Paint Your Wagon or something.
Tino Cinceri came into
camp. He sounds like a John Wayne sidekick.
He said, we need to legalize the whores who come to play.
It's a very prairie full name.
Tino Cinceri, he likes the whores that come. Yeah. I think that's how we end it.